WHUR 96.3, 96.3 HD2, 98.3 FM, and SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. Well, it goes without question. We all know this. Sports is big all across the world, especially here in America. But for parents, if your child is participating in any kind of sport, how's it going for them? Are they having fun? Do they like the competition? Or maybe more importantly, do they feel safe and do you feel they are safe physically and mentally by being involved in sports? Tonight, we're going to have a conversation on that, basically about balancing fun, safety, and competition in youth sports. If you have a question or comment, we want to hear from you. The phone lines are open. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Joining us tonight on the phone line is Marty McNair. He is the founder of the Jordan McNair Foundation. And in studio with us is Alex Bamfo. He is an AAU basketball coach based in Germantown, Maryland. Again, phone lines are open, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Mr. Banfo, Mr. McNair, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. Bramante, thank you for having me on again.
Good to talk to you again. And Mr. McNair, before we begin, or as we begin, I'd like you to talk a little bit about the foundation and the backstory of why and how the foundation was established. Not all listeners may know of the circumstances which brought about the formation of your foundation.
Sure, yeah. So the Jordan McNair Foundation was started after my son Jordan McNair suffered a heat-related injury on the first day of conditioning practice at University of Maryland in 2018. Literally, we went from a healthy kid May 28th, Tuesday morning, to an emergency liver transplant Friday morning, with Jordan being within hours of his life, and 85% of his liver was necrosis. So in layman's terms, 85% of his liver was dead. And if we didn't make a decision to get an emergency liver transplant, he would be dead within 12 hours. And the big thing for us at that time was, you know, of course, you know, what happened between Tuesday and Friday? And to the point where 85% of Jordan's liver was dead, we didn't know anything, and I was using the term loosely when it came to heat stroke. You know, I thought basically if you had a heat stroke, really that meant you just got in the sun. I mean, you got in a cool area in the shade, drank some water, cooled down, and everything would be right with the world. Unfortunately, I had no idea how tragic a heat stroke was, and not knowing what I didn't know at that particular time, didn't know that it was a preventable injury, because nobody goes from zero to heat stroke. You go from zero to heat exhaustion, and basically, you know, it just evolves to heat stroke. And basically, in layman's terms, what a heat stroke is, it's the equivalent of when your core body temperature reaches 104 degrees, it's the equivalent of your body being in a microwave oven. Everything starts to cook. You literally have a 20 to 30 minute window to cool those organs down. By any type of ice bath, any type of cooling immersion, things like that, before it becomes irreparable. And after that 30-minute window, you know, that's when things become irreparable, and that's how we went from a healthy guy Tuesday morning to an emergency liver transplant Friday morning. Took over an hour to get Jordan to the emergency room that day. So you can imagine his insides were cooking for over an hour and 30 minutes, and really that's how we kind of got from that position Tuesday to that life-saving decision Friday. Unfortunately, God had a bigger plan. Jordan really didn't. It was too much damage done, so the emergency liver transplant really wasn't enough to save his life. However, the whole time that we were in the hospital and he was fighting for his life, basically I kept asking myself as the father, what did I miss? And what didn't I teach him? And basically, it was really, I didn't know what I didn't know at that time. And another thing we kept asking ourselves as parents was, if we don't know these things, how many other parents or student athletes don't know these things? And I think at that particular time when Jordan passed, the only way for us to really channel our grief and our pain was to turn it into passion and try to start saving the lives of other student athletes and prevent other parents from experiencing what we experienced just through education, continuous education, and student athlete safety legislation and all the things that we've done in regards to our advocacy efforts over the last 4 years.
Alex Bamfo, Mr. McNair shared his story. His son was a college football player. You coach AAU basketball. So these guys are trying to, or young ladies, are coming to you, many of them trying to get in position to be seen, to get scholarships to go on to college.
Right.
And basketball is a little different than football in terms of when we're talking about, just if we stay focused right now on the safety aspect, but you still kind of want it fun. For folks who don't know, AAU basketball is serious business. Oftentimes, the parents are serious about the business of basketball in AAU. So talk a little bit about the challenge of making sure that the players that you have are enjoying this experience and not just literally building their resume or being pushed to build that resume by their parents.
Correct. Well, thank you for having me. I think with my team, it's a little different because I had these kids since third grade, so we were able to develop them as youngsters, and maybe eight out of the 11 players I have, they've been playing together since the third grade. So now they're in the seventh grade. So we have like a great camaraderie about us and a willingness to play together at all times. So that kind of makes my job easy. So they know what I'm looking for. So nothing's bigger than the team. So they understand that from day one. So that's what I love about these kids. I got 9 players that are skilled. They can go anywhere and play, but they choose to play with us because we developed them. So it makes my job easy, as I said earlier. But in watching other teams and other parents, you know, it seems like their biggest challenge, it seems like everybody wants to go to the NBA or get college scholarships, right? Or even high school, go to private school.
Because they're paying to be in
AAU. Correct.
Right? So they're putting money out there.
Yes.
So they're looking to Coach Bamfo to make sure, hey, you put us in the best position.
Correct.
So there's got to be a lot of pressure at this level, youth sports, on a coach like you. And what age do you coach?
13U. So these are seventh graders.
And that's 13 and under. Is that what the U
means? 13 and under. Yes. Yeah.
So you're barely teenagers and
Correct.
Some younger. So is there extra pressure that you're finding from parents? You don't have to talk about the parents that you
at times.
Coach,
at times, because
listening.
Sometimes you know their kid might not be playing as much as other kids. So sometimes it's a challenge. So you know, I just let them know what they need to work on or get better in, and let them know that at the end of the day, this is a even though it's fun, but it's also a competition thing. So we have to play the best players. They're working hard and ready to play it on a daily basis.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tonight we're talking about youth sports, how to make sure it stays competitive, because you can't get around that, but also to make it fun and also to make it safe. Marty, based on what you have learned, and you talked about you had to tragically learn more after the death of your son, and we talk about balancing, you know, competition with fun and with safety. Is that harder than we think for administrators, for parents? What's your sense of that, whether it's on the, you know, peewee level up to the collegiate level?
Yeah, so I'm glad that I think this is the perfect chemistry of guests, because Coach sees it from the coaching side of it, and I see it from an advocate and a parent side of it. I'm a parent first and an advocate second. And basically, Coach just made a good point. It's interesting because I wrote a book during COVID. It's out, and you can purchase it at our website or Amazon. It's called Can My Child Play? The questions we should have asked.
Mm-hmm.
Because as all parents in America, Coach just confirmed it, they want to know two questions. Can my child play, and why is my child sitting on the bench? We don't care about anything in the middle. And there's a ton of safety questions that you should be thinking about long before those two questions come into play,
mm-hmm.
that are more valuable than those two questions. And I was the same parent that asked those same questions all of Jordan's life, because Jordan was an AAU basketball player first. He played in everything. So I think that, you know, really as parents, you know, we need to educate ourselves because, like you just said, is it a lot of pressure on coach? Yeah, it is, because in events, I come from the perspective now, if something goes wrong, coach is going to be to blame. Where, you know, coach, and coach that's on the line with us, coach just a regular, he's an average guy like I am. He just has a passion to make a difference and influence young people's lives or make an impact in their, a positive impact in their lives. So, again, you know, we don't sit there. I don't know what coach's medical training information is. I don't think he's a doctor. But, again, I don't know what his safety training is and things like that. So I think those are the things that, as parents, we have to take the onus ourselves and take a level of accountability to see what are we putting our children into. You know, let's ask the safety questions of, hey, is this a safe program? You know, do they have CPR? Do they have an AED machine? If it's football, do they have all of the safety equipment that will save my child in the event of? Do they have an emergency action plan? So those are the things that we really are adamant about nowadays. But again, as a parent, yeah, I think that we can't just say, you know, gone are the days of just dropping our child off to practice and then we sit in the car or we just kind of go off and run errands and then we come back without knowing what we're putting our children into. And regardless of whatever the sport may be, this is what we often do. But, you know, because we assume, same way I assume, that here's a Big Ten school and they know what to do. And I didn't even know at the time to ask any safety questions. I've asked one question. I asked two questions when Jordan was being recruited by all the schools that he went to when we made our decision. I remember the coaches were at our table a few days before recruitment. I asked two questions. Can he get some playing time?
Mm-hmm.
And ask something around mental health and substance abuse support, just because that was the business that I was in at that time. And I just wanted to know. I never thought to ask, in the event of something happening to my child, what systems did you all have in place? Because I didn't know.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're going to go to the phone lines real quick. But Coach Banfo, I did want to ask you this. You coach in Montgomery County. In the last few weeks, I'm sure you saw the story of Gaithersburg High School and Northwestern High Schools in the county. The fight breaks out. Police have to get involved. One police officer is struck. When you saw that, you know, what did you think? How does it get to that point, in your estimation, and coaching on that level?
Okay. So when I seen that, it definitely was disturbing, because in my generation, we didn't have those type of incidents with coaches being involved with players, and though, you know, it's a little bit, but it was not to that extreme. So the way things are now, it just seems like, you know, it might go back to the AAU circuit. We probably need to go back and revisit certain things about, because I think all that most teams care about is, you know, obviously winning is number one, but also trying to get their names out there and recruiting. So sometimes they don't take the time to, like, ask questions about, you know, with the kids and find out what's going on in your lives. All they care about is just them showing up for games and them winning. So I think we just need to take a step back and, you know, be that father figure if we have to these kids, so that way they know that, you know, they can always have somebody that cares about them, that always come back to talk to them and things like that.
And the unfortunate thing, you know, from a coaching standpoint, is the coach from Northwestern and an assistant coach lost their job.
Correct.
And the athletic director at Gaithersburg lost his job in that. All right, let's go to the phone lines. And Danielle has been waiting patiently. Go right ahead, Danielle, with your question or comment. Danielle? I guess Danielle could wait no longer. Let's go to Gina calling from Gaithersburg. Go right ahead, Gina, with your question or comment.
Good evening. Thank you. Can you hear me?
Sure can.
Great. First, I just want to commend Mr. McNair for turning his pain into this kind of purpose. My grandson has been playing Montgomery County, Maryland football for 9 years. He's now in varsity football, and they are obsessed with the NFL, both he and his mother, so I completely understand that. And up until hearing Mr. McNair's story, my biggest concern was, is he safe because we were at that big fight thing in Germantown, and it was horrifying, but not as much as this. My grandson was hurt, and they, you know, had the little truck thing take him off the field, and he had fractured his collarbone in two places and was out for a season. And when he went back, they asked for no follow-up paperwork. They just put him back in the game, and he's been hurt several times since, and they just keep letting him play.
So, Gina, is it that you want more to be done? You believe more should be done at that level in terms of protecting someone like your grandson and others who may have had the same kind of injuries or incidents as he on the field?
Absolutely, because I could see that there is a protocol and a plan, but are they following it all the way through, or is it complete? Who's responsible for that, and how do we engage the right people? Because they literally asked for nothing.
Okay.
No doctor's note to release him, nothing.
All right. Well, stay right there on the line, Gina. We're going to let Mr. McNair. I think I lost Gina. Call back, Gina. I think I hung up on you by accident. So you can hear Mr. McNair's response and even Coach Bamfo's, because I think it's a great question about where we are now and what can be done. If we're going to take a break, but don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com. Or you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. We're going to get back to you, Gina, so stay right there on the line. And others, the phone lines are still open. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. The original Quiet Storm with John Mons is next on WHUR 96.3. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on SiriusXM channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. Tonight we're talking about youth sports and how to have fun and be competitive, but also keep your kids safe. Joining us tonight is Marty McNair. He's the founder of the Jordan McNair Foundation. And Alex Bamfo, he's an AAU basketball coach based in Germantown, Maryland. Phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Marty, Gina had called, and she was saying, I'm sure you heard the call, that she has a grandson that plays high school football in Montgomery County. Grandson was hurt, felt like there wasn't a whole lot of follow-up, whole lot of paperwork, whole lot of questions asked before he was sort of put back out on the field. And so she wants to know what can be done. And are you surprised that this is still happening? Especially, Marty, let me say this. If we watch NFL games now, boy, you see as soon as that player hits the ground or just looks sideways, they're putting them in the tent. So has it not trickled down, that kind of approach, yet to the high school level?
Yeah. So, and Gene, I'm with you as a grandmother, and one of the things in regards to, let me address Gina's question. So, Gina, I understand every kid in America, basically, if they're playing football or basketball, obviously they want to get through the NBA or the NFL or a professional level of competition. However, the numbers keep getting, they keep decreasing to the point where it's 2% they get to the NFL. So that means you got 100 players on the team, only two of those players are even going to get to the next level. However, one of the main things that we try to emphasize to young people that I speak to on a consistent basis is even if we're in communities where sports is a low-hanging fruit for us, however, let's use that as a tool to get education. And guess what? If your grandson is a great student athlete, you know, and he can get to the next level, and he can get to the next level, the collegiate level, the goal is really to get a college education while you're there for free. You know, that's the big picture. You know, and guess what? You can go do whatever you want to do if you don't make it, if you're not a part of that very, very small percentage that does make it there. But the main thing in regards to his safety right now, we have literally 21,000 high schools across the nation of America, the nation, literally the United States, and they fall into two buckets. You have schools that have resources, meaning they can afford athletic trainers and things like that, and then you have schools that can't afford athletic trainers. They don't have the resources. So the last bill that we got passed in the state of Maryland that went in effect July the 1st, and I want all your listeners really to listen to this, because bills don't mean and legislation doesn't mean anything if we don't know about it. So here's a bill that I'm standing on the top of the rafters yelling it out. It's called House Bill 836. And basically, this is a state bill for all middle schools and the high schools, public middle schools and high schools in the state of Maryland that have to practice, mandated that they practice their emergency action plans twice a year. What's an emergency action plan? That's the equivalent of a fire drill. So, again, the interesting thing about sports, every time you walk out on the field, a fire can happen. So they're mandated that these schools should have the proper, if they don't have the athletic trainer, they have the proper safety equipment, whether it's an AED machine, a cold water tub, they should be familiar or trained in CPR, cardiac arrest, how to handle heat-related injuries, and all of these things, the signs and symptoms of the types of injuries or what could go wrong. Now, this is mandated. This is a law. So this bill or this emergency action plan should be practiced twice a year, at the beginning of every spring season and at the beginning of every fall season. So if these schools don't know about this, now you can always go to them with a bill. However, I always say this. As a parent, you know best. Coach don't know best. And we need to teach our student-athletes, our young people right now, especially at Coach Bamfo's age, to advocate for themselves. Listen to their bodies. If their body tells them to stop, stop. Because if your grandson is old, nobody at 13 years old is getting a college scholarship to play sports anywhere. They're still years away from those type of opportunities. Now, they may can get to some type of high school scholarship or private school or higher education, but nobody's that close to the league. You still have to go through the process. And what we used to tell my son, tell Jordan all the time, Jordan was 6'5", 300 pounds, a size 16 shoe. He had every offer from every school across the nation. We had shoe boxes of schools that wanted him to come to their school to play football. But the main thing, in the 10th grade, if you can't get past algebra, if you can't pass algebra 1, that don't mean nothing to us. Now go take the trash out, because we had to keep him grounded. Mm-hmm. Because none of that, we didn't buy into the hype of all these schools want you. If you can't qualify for the NCAA, you ain't going to get there no how. Mm-hmm. So we never bought into those types of big dreams, in a sense. You know, so those are the things that are very important. But remember, Ms. Gina, House Bill 836, and that protects your student-athlete at the middle school and high school level in regards to their emergency action plans must be practiced twice a year.
Okay.
The safety equipment is mandated that it will be on the field, whether it's all these things I mentioned. And if you want more information, please go to the JordanMcNairFoundation.org website, and we have all the information there. But as a parent, it's a law. Parents, make the final decision. If your son or your daughter doesn't feel okay going out there, plant that seed of self-advocacy for them. And guess what? If you got to make an executive decision, make an executive decision to say, my child just can't play today. Because at the end of the day, you don't want to hear coaches, no offense to Coach Bamfo, but you don't want to hear coaches' explanation of why your child got hurt or worse.
Okay, Gina, hopefully that helped. All right, thank you so much, Gina, for sticking with us and your patience. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Coach Bamfo, you were a basketball player. Did you play in AAU hoops?
Yes.
Did you go through it?
Yes.
What was your experience like, and how long did you do it?
Probably about 6 years. Mm-hmm. My experience was it was good. It was not as intense as it is now.
And why is it more intense now?
I think everybody.
And how old are you? Maybe that gives us some context. Well, you don't have to give your age, or just when were you in AAU basketball? 80s, 90s?
90s.
In the 90s. Yes. And so now it's more intense, and you're coaching.
Right.
What has made it more intense? The money in sports that has gone up exponentially?
Yes. I think that's the first thing, is the money. So, you know, it's a lot of organizations making money off it. And sometimes it's advertisement. I mean, they get advertisements off it as well. But I also think that some parents have an agenda, because, you know, like Mr. McNair said, you know, everybody thinks that they're going to the NFL or the in the NBA or, you know, Major League, you know, that's another subject. But so I think, you know, a lot of parents invest a lot of money into youth sport, right? So they're looking for their kids and also training. So there's a lot of training involved now, right? So a lot of my kids, they also do training. They might do training once or twice a week. To go along with practicing as well. So that all that adds up. And
we're talking 13 and under.
Correct. At 13 and under. And most of them started like with the training, like at 9 or 10 years old. Mm-hmm. So a lot of parents are, you know, thinking that they're going to move on to the next level, whether it's going to getting a scholarship to college and then maybe playing in the pros. So it's a lot. And I think sometimes people forget about the education, right? Like Mr. McNair said, you want to get a good education because that's what college is supposed to be about first, is getting the education. And then if you're good enough to play in the NBA or in the NFL, then, you know, that'll speak for itself.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about youth sports tonight, keeping it fun, competitive, and safe. Marty, with your experience, with your son being involved in sports, what would you say to parents who may have a child who may not be that interested in the sport that they started playing? You know, maybe they're in it, but they're kind of like, oh, I don't know if I want to stay in it. Because we can have that issue of, you know, oftentimes we teach our children, hey, once you start something, finish it. Don't get in the middle of it and then decide you want to get out. But yet we're also talking about we want to make sure that they have fun. So that's where that balance comes in. As a parent, how would you advise parents handle that if they see that the child really doesn't want to do it anymore? Should you let them step out?
I'm from the old school Vermont, so I think that quitting is the easiest thing, the easiest habit to get, but the hardest one to break.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that sports is their first piece of social nutrition that is our responsibility as parents to give our children. Now, the thing is, I think that when it comes to playing sports, let them play everything until they find the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll know that, you know, really when it comes to something. But I think that sports, again, is the social nutrition that every child should, you know, participate in, because it just teaches you not only the wins and the losses. I mean, that comes with it. But it teaches you how to interact with people. It teaches you how to be accountable. It teaches you teamwork, all these things that you need in life. You know, every job interview you're going to get, you know, they're going to ask you, hey, how do you work with others? And I think a lot of those things come from sports early on. And the thing is, be realistic with it. You know, listen to me, funny story. Jordan was always the tallest. He was 6 feet in the fifth grade.
Oh, my gosh.
And we used to play on Sundays. And I would, I mean, you name it, I would beat him up and toughen him up. I thought this is what I was doing.
Mm.
And if it had been up to me, and I considered everything except almost putting gunpowder in his food, because mm-hmm. he was a regular kid with his peers.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to toughen him up. And you know what? He got it when he was 15 years old. Now, he had been playing sports since he was 7 or 8. He got it when he was 15, when it clicked mentally, when the mental clicked with his physical, man, it was nonstop at that point, you know. But again, I think my goal really was to just keep him involved and just let him enjoy himself and, you know, really just support him to do whatever he wanted to do. However, you know, and the interesting thing, he wasn't even a football player. He liked to play basketball. We played basketball until he was 13 years old, and I just had one coach. A football coach just kept saying, Mr. McNair, he's a lineman. And I'm like, nah, he's a basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, he didn't know a thing about basketball, but when we started playing, he had quick feet. He had basketball feet for a lineman. And, I mean, he just learned the rest and obviously started getting some attention. But, again, I think as parents, you know, it's an organic process. Don't let him quit. Like I said, I think that's the easiest habit to get, but the hardest one to break. And I think that whatever they sign up for, they just got to finish it out and keep them involved in everything until they want to play baseball. Let them play baseball. They want to play basketball, lacrosse, football, or whatever, tennis, or whatever the case may be, because I just think this just makes a well-rounded child, period.
Coach Banfield, you wanted to jump in on that?
Yeah. So I'm laughing at that a little bit because my son, he's 14 now, but started off coaching him at, I think, 8 or 9 years old. So he was playing, you know, I was coaching him in basketball. And, you know, it was hard for him to, you know, play under me. So I guess after a few years, you know, I wanted him to, you know, my friend to coach him, but it was not the right time. So, you know, so we took a step back and, you know, he said he wanted to take a break. So, like you said, I made that mistake not getting him involved in other sports. So, you know, he's been breaking for a few years now. So he's in high school. He just started high school now. So, you know, I tell him he needs to pick a sport that, you know, he wants to play in high school.
Now, does he want to play a sport, or are you telling him to pick a sport? You see, because what I heard there is I'm telling him to pick a sport, and I can see your son going, well, did I tell you I want to play a sport in high school? So are you part of this conversation or the question, Mr. Parent and Coach?
You know what? I am, because, you know, my daughter is funny because she, you know, she started off playing tennis at 6 or 7 years old and she was into it. And I think I was hard on her, you know, at the beginning. So she ended up quitting for a while. And it's not until she got into high school and was like, Dad, I want to get back playing tennis. And, you know, so I think COVID kind of took that away as far as like her playing on the tennis team at her high school at that particular time. She graduated this year or this past year.
So you have to feel, I think, as a parent, and both of you are parents, you have to get a sense of feeling like where your kid wants to go and try to shepherd them in that way. But I would think forcing them to play any particular sport probably is not going to be productive. Would you say, Coach?
Well, I agree. I agree with that. But I don't want him to also regret. So that's why, you know, from time I, you know, kind of remind him. But it's not more so force. It's more so trying to get him to, you know, like Mr. McNair said, you know, trying to build confidence. And I think sports, especially for me and the kids I coach, it builds a lot of confidence in them and a lot of stability and believe that they can do a lot of different things. And, you know, for my son, you know, he goes to school, he comes home, and, you know, he might be on his phone on YouTube or something like the whole day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I come from that generation where we was always outside, you know, playing sports.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, your parents had to call you in at 10 or 11 at night. You know, so that's the generation I come from. So it's a little frustrating at times, you know, looking at my kids and, you know, just chilling, you know, if you want to say that. So.
Well, look, that's a whole nother show, right? I think we can all talk about that. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, because I got the same issue with my son, even though he plays football. We're going to take a quick break, but we're going to continue this conversation. Phone lines are still open. It's a Friday night, and this is the night for Friday Night Lights, unless there's a game on Saturday, which my son's game is. But normally there are football games tonight. So this show is appropriate. We're talking about youth sports, fun, safety, competition. We're going to take a quick timeout. We'll be right back. This is the Insight segment. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment, and tonight we're talking about youth sports, being safe while also having fun and being competitive. Our guest tonight is Marty McNair, founder of the Jordan McNair Foundation, and Alex Bamfo. He's an AAU basketball coach based in Germantown, Maryland. Alex, Coach Bamfo also, I wanted to sort of explore this. AAU can be expensive, right? And so you're making a commitment as a parent, as a family, to have your child or children involved in AAU sports. And I want to get specific. For black families, your experience, is it different? Do we experience AAU differently, either the way we approach it, the way we, the expectations we may have, the value we may put on it?
Right. I think so. It's not for all black families, but there are parents that, you know, this might be a meal ticket, you know, out from wherever they...
Because of the economic...
Correct.
And sometimes the differences economically.
Correct.
Of course,
correct.
Now, we're not saying every black family is poor,
correct,
or below the medium income, but we just know how things are,
yes,
how
yes
they are.
Well, you see it because you see it like, you know, certain NBA players or football players that came from certain backgrounds and things, and this was like their way out of that poverty and things like that. So this is the ticket for them to get out, and you know, they express it, they end up expressing it once they get to that, you know, get to that level. So I think some parents, they they look at that and say, hey, they put all their marbles or their chips into one basket and say, hey, we're gonna see this through. And you know, sometimes there's no backup plan for that. And I think that's what hurts sometimes, because you know, we don't emphasize sometimes education as well. It's just a one track mind. Okay, if we're going from AAU to possibly getting a private school scholarship to getting a college scholarship, and then maybe possibly playing in the pro league, whether it's the NBA or overseas and things like that. So I think sometimes we miss that part.
Marty, did you have experience with AAU athletics?
Me personally, or me with Jordan?
You with Jordan, and then beyond that, you know, just in general also. As a parent, and then as a yes, you did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was maybe 10 years before Coach Van's phone, so I played in the 80s AAU sports, and it looked totally different. But I think that as parents, we always want to create a better experience for our children.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came along, you know, if Coach Banfo is coaching 13 and under, I remember playing 13 and under. And I think I remember two fathers in my community, and they were always sports related. One parent, one of my friends, his father coached us when we were in the 8-10 range. And then another father, he coached us 13 under. But from 15 under to 18 under, we always had like one of the older guys in the neighborhood that coached basketball. So it was more so, you know, really that generational dynamic versus us having parents at every game now, and you know, the money's involved and everybody's sneakers got to match and all that type of stuff. You know, you got the best looking warm-ups and sweatsuits and all that, where when I played, you know, we just had t-shirts,
right?
You know, that
I know
big. You know, that was big. So I think that, and then when Jordan played AAU sports, I mean, all the way through, he was a lifelong athlete. You know, so he played, you know, AAU basketball, BNBL, I'm from Baltimore City, so BNBL is, you know, Baltimore Neighborhood Basketball League, so that's like always been a AAU staple in the community as long as I can remember, at least 50 years. So, again, these things have been around, so we've always played. I think now the difference is the parent involvement was, hey, you had every practice, you had every game, because I admit, I was that parent. I started investing in a trainer early on as well. So I just think that we want to give our children better. We want to give them the competitive edge now. So therefore, we have the resources to do so. Now, not to get into the next level, you know, or the NBA. I couldn't see that far in the NFL at 8 or 9 years old or 13 or 14. However, just give them the competitive edge to get to a good education. And at times, I think that as parents, we totally miss that, because we think that success has to come along in the form of monetary money in our hands or money in our bank accounts.
Right.
Rest assured, if your kids got to private school where they charge a minimum of $25,000 to $40,000 a year, that's a come up. You know what I mean? That is the equivalent of the NBA.
Right.
If your child has got a college education or a college scholarship sports-wise where it costs hundreds of thousands of dollars for this education, it's value in that. So we always think that, depending, like you just said, what communities we're from, that it always has to be, oh, my son just got, or my daughter just got a $3 million contract, or, you know, $1 million signing bonus up front. But in reality, that high school's education you got had value to it, that college scholarship that you got had value to it. And I think that we need to look at those things as opposed to trying to get to something that may not be as realistic.
Coach Banfo, listen, this has been a conversation for a few years now. The fees, and I'm not just talking about AAU, I'm just talking about kids being involved in youth sports, whether it's, you know, Little League, Boys and Girls Club, the things, and Marty kind of mentioned that, you know, all the sneakers you got to have and matching sneakers. Right. And back in the day, we just had a t-shirt, you guys, your cleats.
Yep.
And that was pretty much it.
Right.
But now, not only the equipment that you need, but then you may have to pay some money for the meals, and then who's, you know, or maybe some extra jerseys and things right. of that nature. Where are we in your sense in terms of the expense for youths to be involved in sports, and where that comes down on parents? Are we at a point point where it's like, well, this is just sort of where we are capitalistically, or is it a little out of whack? How would you sense that?
I think it's a little bit out of whack. I think now the AAU scene, especially basketball, in some parts football, it's a year-round sport, right? So there's a lot of tournaments involved, right? So a lot of teams, you know, the tournaments are expensive, right? And then the travel for the parents, are, you know, especially at my age level, mm-hmm. not more so the high school level, because the high school level, some parents don't come out. It's just more so the kids are just out there playing, right?
Right.
So in the, you know, in my circuit, there's, you know, parents are involved. So it's called, you know, it's a lot of cost to it, right? Whether it's the meals, you know, and hotel fees. The uniforms, because, you know, you got to have, like, three or four uniforms, right?
Oh, my gosh.
The shoes, I know where Mr. McNair is coming from, but fortunately, one of the parents, he happened to bless us with, you know, some sneakers, mm-hmm. you know, so we was fortunate to get that, so we didn't have to worry about that. But, yeah, it can get a lot expensive, and I just worry that it's going to continue to go up and up, because there's a lot of, you know, people making a lot of money off this, right? So these are people jobs as far as, like, the people that are hosting these tournaments mm-hmm. and things like that, because, you know, different parts, you know, we play in Pennsylvania, Spooky Newt, quite a few times a year, and, you know, there's 3,000 teams, and, you know, that come out for those for that event and things, depending on what the scene look like. So, and you could just imagine how much they got to be raking in, you know, from parking, and you got to pay for parking too.
And again, this can be just a whole nother show.
Correct.
Separately in terms of the expenses and, as you say, you know, how it's become big business and what that means for youth sports. Is
right.
that a good thing or a bad thing? But since our clock is ticking and, you know, we can't get in deep as much as we would want on that, I definitely think that's a conversation that we can have down the road. Marty McNair, tell us a little bit about, if folks want to find out about the Jordan McNair Foundation, where can they go to get more information, or if they want to contact the foundation and or you?
Yes, you can go to the JordanMcNairFoundation.org. That's basically where you can pretty much see everything that we do. That we keep our website up to date in regards to all of our events, our clinics, our sports camps, things like that, legislation that we pass. Also, I do a lot of posting on Instagram. So, you know, really, that's always a good way to catch me at the Jordan McNair Foundation on IG. You can always DM me. I'm usually going to get back to you within at least one day. Also, if you want to find out what our, follow us with regard to our views, on a lot of the legislative work that we do, follow us on Twitter at JMF Foundation. And if it's any type of business stuff, follow me on the Jordan McNair Foundation or Martin McNair on LinkedIn. So we try to cover all of the bases in regards to social media and, you know, really the information that we put out as well. We try to stay consistent.
And Coach Bamfo, if anybody wants to get in touch with you or AAU basketball, any suggestions where they should go?
They can message me on at G-Town Basketball, at G-Town 2028. At G-Town 2028, on Facebook at G-Town Basketball.
All right, he is Alex Bamfo. He's an AAU basketball coach based in Germantown, Maryland, and Marty McNair, founder of the Jordan McNair Foundation. Marty, thank you so much for being with us, and Coach Bamfo, thank you for being with us.
Thank
nice
you.
To have you. First time, did great.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Fantastic.
Thank you for having me again.
All right, you're welcome. That's the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Friday, October 28th. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Have a great night and a fantastic weekend.